This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to the Saturday edition of Racing Across America. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Abbreviated show today, again with another 11:50 post time at Aqueduct. We'll have to find out what their plans are for the winter. I'm guessing they're just trying to get the 10 races in here for a while, and so we're getting the morning starts. I would think they will kick a little bit later on as we get, you know, into December and it gets darker even earlier. I think the 10 races will be tough then, so we'll see. But again, a little bit of an abbreviated edition as we've done last week or so. So we'll get to the NYRA pregame kind of towards the bottom of the hour a little bit after. But we have two nice guests scheduled in the meantime. I had talked to Tommy Albatrani yesterday. He has a couple of horses in today's Red Smith down at Aqueduct, highlighted, of course, by Saddler's Joy, the morning line favorite. So we talked a little Saddler's Joy and more. He had a couple of nice winners. One last week, one debut winner last week down at Aqueduct. And then a couple of weeks ago, he's got that nice Faya, the turf sprinter. So we talked about those horses with Tommy as well. And coming up a little bit later on, it's Ron Gierkink, the Daily Racing Form correspondent for Woodbine. We'll talk to him because Woodbine has four really nice stakes today. Should be a lot of fun. The return of the Queen's Plate winner, Mighty Heart, and the Breeders' Stakes winner that upset the chance for Mighty Heart at the Canadian Triple Crown, Belichick, also back this afternoon in the Ontario Derby, but Pink Lloyd and the Kennedy Road, and there's also the Bessarabian. It's a nice stakes day at Woodbine, so I thought we'd catch up with Ron, get some ideas there. Let me hit you with a couple promos that are of note, because today here at the Clubhouse Racebook, I will have a $300 bankroll. 20 lucky folks will get selected to participate. When you show up at the Clubhouse between 11 and 2 today, toss your name in the hat. We will randomly select 20 folks to be on the team at about 2 o'clock. I'll be betting from 1 until about 5. Try to take that $300 and kick it through the roof. At the end of the day, the team splits up the proceeds of the bankroll. So hopefully I do kick it through the roof. That's going to be the game plan. But it's always a lot of fun. If you're on the team or not, you know, I'll be tossing out my selections and plays, and maybe something I toss out strikes a chord with you, and you can kind of play along and take your pops as well. Today at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany, same location that tomorrow we have NFL Sunday. Every Sunday throughout the NFL football season, you can come here to the Racebook and watch all the football action and catch all the racing action as well. NFL Sundays here at the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany. All right, as promised, let's get to it. Yesterday, caught up with Tommy Albatrani. Again, he has Saddler's Joy in the Red Smith this afternoon down at Aqueduct. So we hit on that and more with Tom Albatrani. Happy to be joined now by Tom Albatrani. He has Saddler's Joy going in Saturday afternoon's Red Smith at Aqueduct. Tom, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Very good. Happy to talk to you about the venerable Saddler's Joy, who on the morning line, the 8-5 favorite. And I'm curious what your thoughts are going into Saturday afternoon. And first, wanted to pull up a replay of the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. This is October 3rd. Saddler's Joy will run third in here. Channel Maker, Lucario, and then number one, Saddler's Joy, again running third. But it's interesting. On the buyer scale, he fired a 104 buyer in the Turf Classic, which matches his lifetime best 104 in the Turf Classic last year. And he came out of the Turf Classic last year to win the Red Smith. So talk a little bit about how he came out of this race, the Turf Classic this year, and how he's going into Saturday afternoon.
Well, he came out of that race really good. He's been in good form. He's training as well as I've ever seen him train. And the horse just hasn't missed a beat in the last 4 years. He's just an amazing horse. And so consistent, we're very hopeful he'll put in a good effort this weekend. So all is good, and he looks ready to go.
And as I say, came out of the Turf Classic last year with that 104 lifetime best buyer, the same as he's doing this year. Do you see any similarities as compared to last year, how he's going into this year's version of the Red Smith?
Well, I mean, if I have to compare last year to this year, he seems to be doing as well as ever, and he came out of the last race looking the same. So, he's very much on go, and, hopefully we just see the same horse show up as he always does.
You have a new jockey in Joel Rosario, guy jumping on board for the first time. What are your expectations there with Rosario hopping on board?
I think Joel will fit him quite nicely. I think with his running style, Joel's a nice patient rider for him, and Javier did a great job with him over the years, and hopefully he'll get along well with him, and get him in the right spot, I'm sure, and hopefully we'll have something to finish with.
And I'm just curious, as I say, a seven-year-old, he's just a war horse, comes out with his game face on every time and runs very well, over $2.6 million in the bank. You've had him from the beginning. What's it like to have a horse like this in your barn?
Oh, it's so exciting. It means a lot when you have a horse like that in the barn for, especially over 4 years. Like, he's just part of the family. Very exciting. Every time he runs, he'll kind of keep you on pins and needles, though, with his running style. But, very exciting to watch him run. We always look forward to watching him. And hopefully we'll continue to see another big race this weekend. And then we'll kind of figure out what his plans are after that.
Is there a game plan to continue on next year, or that's up in the air?
It's kind of up in the air. We've been trying to see if we could find him a place where he could be a stallion. So far, we haven't gotten one yet, but we're still in the works. And, I don't know if we'll continue to race him next year. But, looking at the horse, he never guess his age, that's for sure. He just seems to be thriving every day. And he just seems to enjoy what he's doing.
Like I say, a war horse who fires every time. And I talked about it on the handicapping show a little bit earlier. I had the unfortunate DQ this year out of the Bowling Green win up at Saratoga, which, as I say, had to be a disappointing for the team. But talk a little bit about, you've had him since the beginning. Has he changed at all? Attitude is, a guy becomes a seven-year-old professional. Have you seen a change in his attitude at all?
There's been no change at all. He's still the same as the time he first came in when he was a three-year-old. And if anything, he's much stronger, I think, now than he probably ever has been in his career. So, we're very excited, to have him. He's been good and healthy for us throughout the years. And it's just, great to have. He's just a great addition to be part of the barn. So, again, hopefully we'll see another good race from him.
And again, won this race last year, so the defending champ. We wish you a lot of luck with him. You have another horse in the race as well, Tintoretto. This interesting past performance line, started the career in America, then spent some time over in Germany, came back to America on the West Coast for a couple of starts, and has been in your barn for a while now. Tintoretto, a long shot on the morning line. But what are your thoughts for that one on Saturday afternoon?
Yeah, he's a horse that's interesting. On his form, naturally, it looks like he has to step up a little bit. But I like the way he's been training since we've had him. He didn't run a bad race, a couple of races back in the San Juan Capistrano, and then he had a lot of trouble in his allowance race after that. So he's a horse that definitely wants to get the distance, and, we're hopefully we'll see this horse run well.
All right. We wish you a lot of good luck this afternoon with both of them. But before we let you go, I wanted to talk about a couple other horses because I wanted to go back to last week, and we have the replay. First-time starter, Wolfie's Dynaghost. This was last Saturday afternoon down at Aqueduct. Wolfie's Dynaghost, a first-time starter, homebred from Woods Lane Farm, the same owners of Saddler's Joy, and Wolfie's Dynaghost gets it done at 33-1. The betting public did not see this first-time starter getting it done in the career debut. What were your expectations going in? Did he surprise you, or were you thinking he had this kind of talent to get it done first time out?
No, it really, honestly, it was no surprise. We knew this horse had a lot of talent. The only question in the back of my mind was, you know, because of his pedigree, that would he actually race over the dirt as well as he trained over it? And that's something that you always kind of be a little cautious about. But he trained like a horse with a lot of talent, and he's a little different horse than Saddler's Joy. You know, he does look like he's, you know, better over the dirt than Saddler's Joy himself. So actually we were pretty hopeful he would run well in theirs, and you know, I really liked the way he ran, and looks like he could have a very exciting future.
Anything in the works for him, or you're just looking at the condition book?
Well, right now, as we're getting closer to December, I think our plan is to get him down to Florida. We'll let him settle in and maybe run him long over allowance condition race. Now one is a two, and hopefully if he's as good as we think he may be, you know, hopefully we'll be targeting some of the bigger races like the Holy Bullet or Sam Davis in the future. Yeah. So we're quite hopeful, keep our fingers crossed, and hopefully we could, you know, get him in that kind of position where he's at the talented horse.
Well, we wish you the best of luck there. He certainly looked good first time out last week down at Aqueduct. Also want to congratulate you Thursday afternoon, Duress, nice winner there in an allowance race down at Aqueduct. But I did want to hit on one more horse and get maybe some future plans for Faya. And we're going to look at Faya here in the Maryland Million Turf Sprint from October 24th. Faya purchased a couple of starts back by Rob Masiello. So you've had him now for a couple of starts, a couple of wins, including this one. The number 9 Faya under Trevor McCarthy gets it done. Boy, this is a nice little turf sprinter. When you got this one in the barn, did you know immediately that you had something special? And what's the game plan going forward for Faya?
Well, when I first got him, it's hard to tell a horse coming from Laurel to New York to run possibly at Saratoga thinking, well, is he that good a horse the way he's run his last few races, or has his competition just been that much weaker? But when I first glanced at him, I thought, wow, this horse is really a solid looking horse, you know, and really caught my eye training in the morning. I just loved him from the get go. And he threw in a couple of really good races. The first time we ran him at Belmont, he ran super. I mean, fast time over that race course, and he came back in Laurel over quite a deep track, which he didn't actually really handle that well, and he still managed to win. And going forward, we're looking to run him at Gulfstream on December 5th in the Claiming Crown.
Oh, nice. And I'm looking at the Equibase page right now. He's already down there because it looks like he had a work yesterday at Palm Meadows.
Yeah, he's been down there for a couple of weeks now, and we're going to prep him for that race on December 5th.
Yeah, very good. So we'll look for him next down South Florida, December 5th. Again, looks like a nice little turf sprinter in your barn as well. But wishing you a lot of luck Saturday afternoon with Saddler's Joy and Tintoretto. Tom, appreciate the time as always, and we will talk again in the future.
Okay, great. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate the time. Tom Abitrani, again, Saddler's Joy, the morning line
Thank
favorite
you.
In the Red Smith on Saturday afternoon.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the Capital Region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
Welcome back to Racing Across America, and today Racing Across North America, because we're going north of the border with a nice stakes card up at Woodbine. Reached out to our friend Ron Gierkink, Daily Racing Forum correspondent up at Woodbine. Ron, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. How are you?
Very good. And there was some talk in the studio amongst us this morning because Toronto mentioned some new lockdown rules going into effect, but there will be racing this afternoon at Woodbine.
Yeah, we should be good for this weekend. Past this weekend, it's still sort of up in the air. I mean, it remains to be seen whether Woodbine can work out something with the provincial government regarding racing during the lockdown.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, certainly. But nice card today, nice stakes action today. Let's kind of hop right into it. We have four nice stakes, and the Ontario Damsel will kick things off in race number three this afternoon. I pulled up a replay of the Wonder Wear. Merveille, the winner, number five. Number six is Curlin's Voyage. They were in different positions three starts back in the Woodbine Oaks. And I'm kind of going back to that Woodbine Oaks. I'm tilting towards Curlin's Voyage, but Merveille is going to be the winner here in this Wonder Wear, the most recent race. It looks like these two are going to duke it out. Field is six, but how did you see this afternoon's Ontario Damsel?
Yeah, I saw it the same way, Seth. Those two look like the main protagonists again. I mean, you look at that Wonder Wear 2, Curlin's Voyage sort of had to wait for room on the far turn along the inside. Merveille had a perfect trip, unlike in some of her previous races. So, you know, maybe Curlin's Voyage might be at her best on the tapita rather than the turf as well. So I think she's maybe going to have the edge, but really it looks like it's between those two. They're both drawn inside, and this week the inside has really been the place to be on the tapita and Woodbine. So I'm siding with Curlin's Voyage.
Yeah, as I say, I was kind of going back to that Woodbine Oaks as well and going in that direction. But a fun race to kind of kick off the stakes action. One I'm really looking forward to a little later in the day, the Ontario Derby. And this is a rematch between Barnmates, Josie Carroll's Mighty Heart and Belichick. Mighty Heart last time in the Breeders' Stakes was going for the Canadian Triple Crown and got hounded a little bit early by a long shot and wound up fading at the mile and a half. But Belichick appreciated the distance and got it done. But again, I'm going to kind of go back a little bit with Mighty Heart. I'm going to show here the replay of Mighty Heart's Queen's Plate victory. Mighty Heart will be the number 13. Winning, but Belichick runs second. Belichick in only his third career start, a good second in the Queen's Plate. And again, as I say, followed that up to spoil the Triple Crown try for a Mighty Heart in the Breeders' Stakes. So again, they're the two interesting ones. But for me, I'm going back to Mighty Heart to be a little player. I thought Mike Maker taking a shot, bringing Field Pass in was a little bit intriguing in this race as well. How did you see the Ontario Derby?
Yeah, you know, I like the Queen's Plate card. It was a speed-favoring track, so really Belichick ran against the bias that day, and Mighty Heart rode the bias, and you can see the way Belichick won the Breeder Stakes impressively. I mean, he had that hot pace to chase that where Mighty Heart was hounded all the way, and I guess the connections were upset with the ride because they replaced Fukumoto with Hernandez. Who was available for the race, I guess. So Hernandez is going to ride Mighty Heart for the first time today. I'm going against him today. Like I said, I prefer Belichick. And, you know, Field Pass, like you mentioned, he's a turf expert, but his only win, his only race on synthetics, he won the Grade 3 Jeff Ruby Stakes on the Poly track at Turfway back in March. And he's come up to this race in good form off of the back thirds and Grade 2s at Churchill and Santa Anita. So I think he's pretty live today, and he's on the inside. Maker hasn't run a horse here since 2018 when he had a stable here, and now he's got this invasion coming here for stakes races. So I give him a pretty good look. And don't forget Malibu Mambo on the outside. He looks like the clear speed. And if he gets to the rail on a clear lead, he could go all the way. I mean, he's coming in fresh, second time off a layoff, coming off a big allowance win. So I wouldn't ignore him either.
For Kevin Attard, and I will ask you, I don't know how many people may have been in the press box at Woodbine that day watching the Breeders' Cup, but was there a sigh of disappointment as Starship Jubilee lost the rider at the start of the Breeders' Cup race? Oh, that was so disappointing.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. I mean, it was a tough way to go out to end your career like that, but main thing is she came back good, and, you know, tough to see, though.
Yeah, I was rooting for her, certainly, because we had seen her do so well up here at Saratoga also. All right, let's move on a little bit later. The Kennedy Road, and this one is, for me, just sentimental pick. You always root for horses like Pink Lloyd, and, you know, our visits up there, we've talked to Robert Tiller about the horse, and so I'll be rooting for that one, and just looks like, you know, coming in obviously in very good form, 4-for-4 this year, 6-for-6 last year. So riding a nice win streak. We're going to take a look at Pink. Yeah, we're going to look at Pink Lloyd's last victory in the Vigil. Pink Lloyd will be the number 7 horse in here. But Ride a Comet, certainly a solid contender. Silent Poet, certainly going to be a contender. And at a price, I thought the Cassie horse, Super Stonehenge for Live Oak, was interesting as well. How do you see the Kennedy Road?
Yeah, you know, Pink Lloyd's won 10 in a row, but this is the toughest field he's faced in a while. Now, that said, you know, he's coming off a 2.5-month layoff. I mean, that's because there was nowhere to race him on the PETA during that time. So I wouldn't worry too much about the layoff. And if you go back through his career, he's never lost when he's fresh, 6-for-6, including winning his debut way back when. So he's primed and ready for this race. And he's got a good post out on the outside. But Ride a Comet's comeback was very impressive. I mean, that was an inside bias track, and he came charging from seventh on the outside and won with a 93 buyer. That was going 7/8, though. So the question with him is, like, 6 seems a little short for him. And, of course, Silent Poet is the speed of the race. He's turned into a turf expert the last few years, and, you know, he's 4-for-4 this year sprinting on turf. So he's coming in the race, you know, in good shape. He's only had one work since his last win on October 18th in the Grade 2 in the Arctic, so I'm questioning him a little bit on that. But he's a very game horse on the lead. So Pink Lloyd is going to have somebody to track, and he's going to have somebody to try and hold off if all these horses sort of run to their best races.
Yeah, and Silent Poet Justin Stein on board. I'll bring up, because we were doing a handicapping show, taped it a couple days ago, and I looked up Stein as we were doing the show. It looks like there's going to be a nice little battle coming down to the wire on the jockey side of things up at Woodbine.
Yeah, I mean, just yesterday, right? Hernandez tied it up, and then Stein went in front by the end of the card. And if we don't race past this weekend, it's going to be quite a duel for the rest of the weekend between these two for leading rider. And neither of them have been the leading rider at Woodbine before. So
yeah, they've
good race.
They've separated themselves, but they're going to ding-dong at it, it looks like, to the end. All right, let's move on. Final stake of the day is going to be the Bessarabian. And my colleague Mike Callahan and I did the handicapping stakes review a couple of days ago, taped it. And we both like Amalfi Coast. And so I'm going to pull up the Sweetbriar 2 from October 23rd. Amalfi Coast is going to be the number 7. And as I say, we both like that horse. Jakarta, though, for Mike Maker, as you say, he comes in with some live horses, and Jakarta may try to speed pop him. Again, I thought a Live Oak horse would be interesting. Super Escape from Mike Trombetta. Painting, I think, could be a player in here as well, who finishes 3rd in the race we're looking at right now. So, again, I this is a – and Super Escape ran 2nd in this race, so the 1-2-3 finishers right back. What are your thoughts on the Bessarabian?
Yeah, you can make a case for all those, Seth, and even throw in Boardroom, the two-horse, a three-year-old filly who's really, who should be unbeaten, but she had broken equipment in her only loss when she was third to Artie's Princess in the Ruling Angel Stakes. And Artie's Princess is in this race, too, and she's got a shot with her tactical speed. So I think you're right. I think I'm off the coast maybe deserves top billing. I mean, she won this race last year when she got really good at the end of last year, and the same thing seems to be happening this year. Her first three races this year, I mean, she had throat surgery going into the Grade 3 Seaway, and I think she's improved since that. If you just throw out that Grade 2 Canadian where she ran in a turf route and it was too close to a hot pace. I mean, she did have a dream trip along the rail last time, but she did it with a 98 buyer, and she gets Steinbeck. So I think she's going to be the lukewarm favorite in spite of what the morning line says.
Yeah, I was looking at the morning line. I thought, that may be a little bit generous, but I'd take it if we got it. It's going to be a fun race in a series of fun stakes races today up at Woodbine. And you and I were talking before we went on the air, and I wanted to give you a chance to also talk a little bit about tomorrow's stakes, couple two-year-old stakes. Always fun this time of year to watch the two-year-olds, because when the calendar turns in about a month, they'll become three-year-olds, and that's always fun to kind of get a little head start. And tomorrow on the card at Woodbine, the Gray and the Mazarine. Give us some thoughts on the two stakes for Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, they're both Grade 3 routes, and the Mazarine for fillies, super sensational, the unbeaten Cassie filly that Live Oak Plantation owns. She's going to be the heavy favorite, and, you know, this is her first start around two turns. She looks like she could be any kind. I mean, they almost ran her in the Breeders' Cup fillies, and they passed the race to try, you know, to run a bit of an easier spot here. That said, it's still a good feel. I mean, I picked Design Already in the paper. I think she won her only start coming from well off the pace going long on the turf, and she beat three next out winners that day. She's very well bred, a tapped filly, Ruth Lunsford homebred. And Cassie has two unbeaten horses in the Gray, Easy Time and Helium. I like the two Kevin Attard horses in that race, Adassa and Steven. They both ran November 1st. Steven won the Coronation Futurity. And Adassa broke his maiden in the race before that with a 79 buyer, actually ran a little faster than his stable mate. And they both worked together last Sunday in 101. So I kind of like those two. And I picked Adassa in the paper. Stein was named on both of them. We'll see who he picks.
Oh, interesting. All right. That may be a little tip as well. It'll be interesting to see which direction he does go. Ron, always appreciate the conversation, and wishing you the best up there at Woodbine. Again, with the current situation, hopefully racing can work things out to keep plugging through. But it's a great stakes weekend, regardless, that will go on today and tomorrow up there. We appreciate the insights, and certainly we will talk again.
We will, Seth. You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Ron Gierkink, again, Daily Racing Forum correspondent for Woodbine, with a really, really nice stakes weekend today and tomorrow. All right, I'm going to wrap it up because I'm looking at the monitor, and they do have the coming up Andy Serling, Anthony Stabile talking horses with, again, the 11:50 post at Aqueduct today, an early start to the pregame show. So we will get to the NYRA pregame, but before we do that, let me just hit on, if you didn't see our stakes preview earlier this morning, or it was on social media yesterday, Mike Callahan and I, we went over some of the stakes, and I'll just remind you, the Native Diver this afternoon out at Del Mar. It'll go off our time about 4 o'clock. It's the second race at Del Mar. Short field, mid-courts in here. Looks like that's the direction folks will go, but again, a little short field in the Native Diver out at Del Mar. I mentioned it earlier, obviously, when we were talking with Tommy Albatrani at Aqueduct today, the Red Smith, Saddler's Joy for Tommy. I took a little pop with Red Knight for Bill Mott. We'll see how that race plays out. And finally, the Chalukie down at Churchill. Nice field here, too. Finite and Grand Cru Class A are the two that will certainly take the action. Woe Nelly may be an interesting horse if you're looking for an upsetter, a unique factor, also maybe a chance at a price. The last time that one was seen at Churchill, it was a victory. Gold Standard for Brad Cox, 2 for 3 at Churchill. one might be interesting at a price too. That probably has to step it up a little bit. But again, if you're looking around, if you're shopping to beat the two logicals in there, Finite or Grand Cru Class A, there are a couple other opportunities. So there's some interesting stakes action on the agenda for this Saturday. You can see it here on the network all afternoon long. And we invite you to stay tuned throughout the afternoon, play and enjoy, and hopefully cash some tickets. Don't forget, if you want to stop at the Clubhouse Racebook this afternoon, we have the OTB Live Bankroll. Folks will start putting their name in the hat between 11 and 2, and about 2 o'clock we'll select 20 folks to be on the team. I'll start playing at about 1 and hopefully juice that $300 up to much, much more, which the team will split up at the end of the day. Always a lot of fun. OTB Live Bankroll, Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue in Albany this afternoon. All right, Serling and Stabile are underway, so I'll wrap it up for this Racing Across America. Thanks for tuning in. We'll have some cut-ins this afternoon from the OTB Live Bankroll out in the front half of the racebook, so we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.